Our core gifts lie at the very center of our being, and they have the power to help us find healthy love so much more effectively and to heal our lives at the same time. So, what are these core gifts, and how can you discover yours? Stay tuned to this episode of the Deeper Dating Podcast to learn how.
If you've ever been disillusioned, disappointed, or discouraged in your search for love, and you know there has to be a better way to find the healthy, soul-filling love you've always longed for, then you've discovered the podcast for you. I know, as Ken's work personally has led me to find the love of my life. So here's your host of Deeper Dating, Ken Page.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Deeper Dating Podcast. I'm Ken Page, and I'm a psychotherapist, a coach, author of the best-selling book, Deeper Dating, and the founder of the Deeper Dating Intensive. And today, we're going to talk about what core gifts are and how you can discover yours. And this lies at the very heart and soul of everything I teach, because our core gifts lie at the very heart and soul of us and who we are. So I'm very excited about this episode. And I just want to say that in this episode and every episode, what I strive to do is to share the greatest tools that I know to help you find love and keep it flourishing and heal your life in the process. Because the skills of dating have to be the skills of intimacy, and the skills of intimacy have to be the greatest skills of all for a happy and rich life. And if you want to learn more about the deeper dating approach to intimacy, please just go to deeperdatingpodcast.com, and there you can sign up for my mailing list. You can see all the transcripts of my various episodes, and you can get free gifts and ebooks that help you understand this approach in a much deeper, richer way. But before we dive in, I just want to read a message that I got yesterday that was so beautiful and meant so much to me. So this is from Jen, and she said, "I just want to thank you for everything you do. Over a year ago, my therapist recommended your podcast as I was preparing to start dating again. I listen to your podcast on my way to and from dates and just around my house so often. This week, I got engaged to the most loving and supportive and gentle soul. He's the kind of person I had given up on finding for a long time. Thank you so much for the part you play in helping people find the love that they deserve." So Jen, thank you so much for that. So beautiful and inspiring to hear. And I invite all of you as well to write back. When you get on my mailing list, you will, you know, have my email, or also on social media, and let me know your story, your journey, your questions as well. But this just gave me such joy to hear. And what we're going to talk about today around core gifts is the heart and soul of how that process happens. This last weekend, I had two speaking engagements where I had to kind of put together the heart and soul of the concept of core gifts, which is at the heart of my work, into 15-minute talks. So I think I was able to do that, and I'm really excited about that, because I'm going to, in this short podcast episode, I'm going to take you through the steps to understand what core gifts are and to give you a glimpse of some of your own and an understanding of the profound shifts that happen when we make those parts of ourselves our central treasure and learn to lead with them. So, okay, let's jump in and do that. So we know that the mating instinct is so profound and so central in evolution. It's the propagation of the species. There's an urgency, there's an imperative to that mating instinct. And we know that for us as human beings, it seems that research shows that the quality of our spousal relationship is the single greatest determinant, even over health, of the quality of our lives, which doesn't mean that if you're single, you can't have a wonderful life, but it means that the intimacy in our lives is the single greatest determinant of our joy and our meaning and our sense of mission and our sense of home in the world. So the mating instinct is a kind of biological imperative Sex is such a driving force. The desire for love is such a driving force. And the reality of what a huge difference it makes in our lives is such a driving force. So something this big, this central, this essential, how could it not be linked to our deepest emotional issues and to our overall growth? And the concept of core gifts is a way of understanding how the impulse to mate, the impulse to find love, and the impulse to grow in our lives all are actually connected together. It's a synthesis of all of those different things. And how does that work? Essentially, it boils down to this: the degree to which we are brave enough and radical enough to honor our souls, to lead with our souls, to help these core gifts evolve and grow and live in the world, is the determinant of our happiness and also, to a huge degree, the determinant of our ability to find beautiful, healthy, sustaining, nourishing, lasting love. The degree to which we treasure what is at our core is the degree to which we can live a life that is balanced and healing and radiant with kind of the mystery and the beauty and the possibility of who we are. So how do we get to this part of ourselves? How do we get to this part that I call our core gifts? So this is a story that I tell in my book about this. I was like 8 years old and I was doing this maze puzzle in the kitchen and my mom came in and she said, "Oh, you know how to cheat at doing a maze?" And I said, "No, tell me," because I love cheating at things like that. And so she said, "Here, just take your pencil and put it right in the center of the maze, like the center point that is the one you want to get to, the very, very center." And she said, "Now you'll immediately know the pathway out." And she was right. It absolutely worked. Now, that's like a very simplistic example, but it says something huge. When we approach our search for love and really our life from the outside in, we hit baffle after baffle as we look to kind of achieve our goals. When we start at the center of our being with a sense of treasuring and honoring and listening to the impulses, to the wisdom, to the essence that's generated from that place, oh my God, do we save time and do we stop ourselves from banging into walls? The formula that I have seen and I talk about all the time here is this: the degree to which we treasure, not just accept, but treasure and back and champion and honor and listen to our core gifts, is the degree to which we're going to end up sexually and romantically attracted to people who are good for us. How amazing is that? And it's the point where the imperative of evolution and growth meets the imperative of mating and finding love. The same approach works for both, which makes perfect sense. Meister Eckhart, the Christian mystic, said that there's a way to make a perfect circle, and the way to do that is to always start at the center. Your core gifts lie at the center. And I'm going to teach you in this episode, like really quickly, how to name some of yours. And we're almost up to that. I'm just going to explain a little bit more that when we don't do that, right? Like our core gifts are the essence of who we are. The image that I use is like the image of a maze or the image of a target, that the closer you get in toward the bullseye, the closer you're getting in toward the bullseye of your authenticity. The further out you get, the more airbrushed you are, the more distant you are from the deep beating heart of your humanity, the fire, the expansion, the caring, the emotion, the everything that lies in that hot center of our being. The cooler we get, the more protected we get, and ultimately the more empty we end up feeling. So why is that? Well, I think that what happens is when we deny or don't really honor our core gifts, there's a vacuum. There's an emptiness at the heart of us because those are the heart of who we are. So nature abhors a vacuum. We are creating a vacuum where our authenticity should be. And that's always going to punish us. That leads pretty much always to masochistic situations. Because there's a missingness at the center. So we're wobbly. We're off. Imagine a wheel that has a center that's not there, or that, well, I guess, I don't know if that would be possible, but a center that's off, the wheel would be wobbly. And that is what happens to us when we don't start with that incredibly brave and scary act of saying authentically, what am I feeling right now? How can I live with that? How can I honor it? The juicy, glorious questions and the questions that are the foundation of true, healthy, radical maturity. I'll be right back after this. If you're interested in accelerating and deepening your search for love, I want to invite you to a very special project, the Deeper Dating Intensive. I only offer it twice a year, and it's a 6-month journey working closely with me and an amazing community to transform each member's search for love. And you can learn more at deeperdatingintensive.com. And if it feels like a match, on that page, you can set up a free one-on-one session with me to explore possibilities. I look forward to connecting if this speaks to you. Welcome back. So I'm just going to share one more image, and it's a kind of, I don't know, it's a kind of silly image, but it's a really rich one, and it is the Indiana Jones kind of thing, like that adventure story where there's a temple, it's a sacred temple. The more you move in toward its sacred center, the Holy of Holies, the more the guards come up to get you, the more you get close to the great treasure. It's the same with going inside. We cannot just go to our center and have it be like, well, sometimes we can, but often to go to the kind of heated core of our being, it's frightening. The expansion scares us. The joy scares us. The wounds scare us because this central place is a matrix. It holds the places we care the most. Hence, it holds our greatest joys, but it holds our deepest hurts. So it's not like we could just walk in. We kind of need to learn little by little to honor that part of ourselves and to listen to it. But the key is always to honor. But anyway, it's kind of like that journey. It's scary to go to the center, and it's sacred to go to the center. And the simple, simple, simple kind of like formula for wiser dating is lead with your core gifts and look for the people with whom your soul feels essentially safe as you do that. Okay, so let's jump into this process right now. I'm going to have you think about this in three different ways. We're going to approach three different facets, three different avenues to recognize some of your core gifts. Not all of these three might work, or pretty good chance all three of them actually will work for you. Maybe two, maybe one, maybe three. It doesn't matter. I am pretty certain that at least one of them will. And that's a core gift place. The places that we feel often the most insecurity and the most shame are exactly where our core gifts lie. Because we care so much in this place that we either get really hurt, or we suppress these parts of ourselves, which is a trauma in its own right, or we act them out, which is a trauma in its own right. So these are scary places, the places of the highest charge of our being, but they are our soul. They are our children, and they're asking to be guided and to listen to so that they can emerge, so that we could be us. Okay, so first, think about a part of you where you have felt too tender for the world. Like, oh my God, I feel things so strongly. I'm kind of not made for the world. I'm too weak. I'm too soft. I feel too much. Has that been something that's true for you, like a part of you where you feel that you feel things so deeply that it makes you different and that it makes it hard to live in the world? Take a minute to think about that. And if there are any aspects of yourself that have felt that way, maybe in your childhood, maybe even currently to this day, take a moment and think about those, or one of those. That's a core gift place. When we feel that we're too tender for the world, when the nerve endings of our heart are so sensitive that the world can be hard to bear, or we feel that we just don't fit in. Hold that. How did the world teach you that it was not okay to feel this much? How did the world teach you that supposedly that sensitivity is the opposite of confidence? How has this felt like a part of you that is kind of too tender for the world? How has the world taught you that it's not welcome? Take a minute to think about that, and you could pause the recording too. Imagine if you held that part, as I'm certain that many of you are working on already, as a core gift, as a sacred central treasure that you were going to trust and listen to and trust your instincts of around whom it feels safe to show that part of yourself. Here's another question to think of this from a different angle. Has there been a part of you that has felt too kind of fierce for the world, too powerful? Maybe if you're a woman, you feel like the messaging is that it's not feminine enough. Maybe you've done things from this place that have hurt other people, so you feel like scared of that kind of power. Maybe it's a power, a ferocity of need that feels maybe embarrassing or awkward. Or a ferocity for truth, or a ferocity to grow and to create or to be competitive. How has the world taught you that that quality is not a treasure? Especially if it's a ferocity and an intensity around need or longing or truth. All those things that can get us in trouble. So think about that. Think about how the world has somehow taught you that this is not something that is a force of nature to be honored and treasured and worked with and held as sacred and essential. And here's the third one. A way that you have felt kind of different from the world, like emotionally divergent, or your pace is different than the world's pace. The way you experience emotions or the way you process your life experience makes you feel like maybe you're from like a different place, like you're not from this tribe, you're from somewhere different, or you just feel odd or different in the ways that you understand life, in the ways you want to move, the ways you want to act, the ways you want to react. Take a minute to think about that. Those are core gifts of your deep creativity, of your uniqueness. And because we're herd animals, they're kind of scary, or they can be scary. So how has the world taught you that there's not space for those parts of you? And again, you can pause. And I would just like to take a moment to honor the sadness and the loneliness that all of us have felt when the world tells us that these places are not treasures, that they need to be hidden, that they're not allowed or accepted or sexy, or like they will get in the way of our finding love. Just to acknowledge the grief, the sadness that we have had to hold, the loneliness that we've had to hold in our hearts around that. And now I want to ask you to pick one of those traits and think, has there been someone who has treasured and enjoyed and gotten a kick out of that part of you? One of those traits where there is someone in your life, it could even be a mythical figure that like you were a historical figure, a spiritual figure, a pet. But one of those traits where someone or something has taught you this is a good thing and there actually is a place in the world for this. This is part of your genius. It's part of your magic. Take a minute and think about that. And just take a minute now and kind of say the person's name out loud. And take a minute, pause the recording if you can, to just riff on how it made a difference in your life to have someone who treasured this part of you and what it felt like for you to finally have that. Take a minute to riff on that because these are foundational concepts. And this is a way that we can discover our core gifts by noticing what's at the center that has felt like it hasn't fit into the world. Our deepest insecurities reveal our greatest gifts. And of course, our deepest joys, also anything where we feel the most, those reveal our greatest gifts. So I want to share a kind of archetypal story. And this is like, you know, having been a therapist for 35 years and been on my own journey of exactly this for so long, I've gotten to see long arc patterns. And one of them is this. It's this experience of like, if you imagine your core gift, one of the ones that you picked, as being a child that you love and protect who doesn't do so well in the world, who, like, the messages, they don't fit in. So early on, we recognize that these parts of ourselves get in trouble in the world. And it's like we say, I'm going to put you away. I'm going to hide you. Because, like, you're not going to work if I want to have any kind of successful life. So we put those parts of ourselves away and we walk into the world and have whatever degree of success we have. But of course, there's a rope connecting us, a stretchy rope connecting us to these parts of us because they're us. They are never not going to be us. And at a certain point, our efforts, no matter how successful we've been, often in the area of intimacy, like, we get stopped short, the rope is not going to stretch anymore. And that is a painful, hard thing, but man, it's a good thing. Because then we do this archetypal task of going back to those treasures, those children of ours, that we have said no to. And Edward Hallowell says this so beautifully. He says, the child that needs your love is not the child you pictured you would have. It's the child who's in front of you right now. So the part of you that needs your love and care and grooming and nourishment is not the part of you that you are trying to, like, gussy up and fix up to be successful in the world, as much as it's these precious parts of you that will provide you with a path that is going to be so much more full of love and meaning. So we go back when our dating life, when our life hasn't worked, we go back to what lives there, to these core gifts, and we learn to lead with these qualities and then only look for people where we have a deep sense of safety and home. And when we do that, our attractions almost miraculously actually begin to change. What happens to us is like what happens to that woman, to Jen, who sent that beautiful, beautiful message to me yesterday. We kind of realign and reorganize, and we are drawn to, and we draw healthy love so much more beautifully. And what happens at the same time? We heal our lives, because this is the place where the imperative to evolve and the imperative to love and the imperative to mate all join together. And it's a sacred and important place. And that is why your search for love needs to be kind of this profound, this real, this authenticity-based, this sacred. If you don't feel like your world is changing and your dating life is changing, I encourage you to try these concepts, to hold them close to your heart, to try them. My podcast talks about it. My book talks about it. My audio course talks about it. My intensives talk about it. And I just encourage you to continue exploring. And please reach out to me. Let me know your thoughts and your feedback. Thank you so much for being on this journey with me, and I'll connect with you on the next episode of the Deeper Dating Podcast.
And that's it for today's episode of Deeper Dating. Be sure to go to deeperdatingpodcast.com as Ken has a few more gifts for you. Then join us on the next episode.